WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Fells Point, downtown Baltimore, one of my favorite places, right across from Dionysos, where I had my first cocktail and Rodos. We're at the Chop Tank. We're down here in Fells Point, right in the middle of things on Broadway. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I haven't had the crab cake yet, but I have had a little fried chicken and the coleslaw down here. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. Got my mask out. I got koozies out from the lottery. I'm all ready for action. And it's like old friends. Yeah, I told my wife like on Sunday, Monday, I'm doing the show down at Fells Point. I hope I know somebody. I hope I can get some people by to do the show. I got Tony Tochterman here. He is, you're on mic now at least. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. And you're right, you are in Fells Point. And let's face it, this is the neighborhood. It is the Baltimore number one neighborhood.
Where did you grow up? Because I know, like, I've only ever really seen you at the store, right? Like, forever. I got to get your headset together here, brother. I want to make you sound good. There you go.
Big head.
There you go. That's all right. So, I only know you from the store, but, like, I think you live here, too. I think you do. I mean, had so many friends when I first got to know you 30 years ago. Everybody you introduced me to. Oh, that guy owns the funeral director over there, and this Pearl's Palace. You knew everybody in the neighborhood, man.
Well, I was very fortunate. You know, like I say, melting pot of Baltimore, Fells Point. I grew up in Rogers Forge.
Oh, okay.
And then my parents moved to Denny Valley, and I moved in with them for 2 years. And then my early 20s, I split and lived out in Cockeysville. I
went. So you commuted. You were a commuter.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
And then in 1981, we had a building that I renovated the second and third floor because it was a little costly to drive back and forth being non-thirsty.
Oh, right on.
In the evening.
What was more to do? Do you talk about people going to the suburbs? You're the exact opposite. You love the action down here.
In 81, I came down here for a couple years, and I'm moving back out. And my wife and I, we've never considered it up to this point of ever leaving Fells Point because it's everything. We haven't had a car in 7 years.
You don't have a car?
We don't have a car in 7 years.
So when you want to go to White Marsh, what do you do? I'm just asking because my wife and I considered that because we love the downtown.
One of the guys, again, we always can borrow their vehicle if we need to, but Dee does all that. My wife does all the traveling, all the buying, all the shopping. I just stay at the shop. She's at the shop all the time, but we have to. But you don't have to make that many trips out. And Uber is great. And Uber, we could triple our Uber a month.
And still wouldn't pay for the insurance. Right,
for the car. So why the hell go anywhere? Because they pick you up where you want. They drop you off right then and there. And it's just great. But we're always working. So, you know, if the store's open, Dee and I are there.
I know this about you.
There's not a question about it. When I turned 70, she said, you're not working 7 days a week anymore. So I said, okay, we're 6 days a week.
Yeah. All right. What day are you off?
Sundays.
All right, that's good. And we watch football or whatever you want to do.
We work in the garden, and then we watch football. And then she cooks, so that's great.
Well, I'm going to say this, man. You were my first sponsor. I walked into your store because I was familiar with it, because the bus went by your place, okay?
On Eastern Avenue.
So in 1990, and I've told this story a little bit. I'm drinking a beer here. I'm at the Chop Tank. I mean, I'm trying to make myself comfortable because
it was a beautiful day here in Fells Point.
I had a back issue, so like sitting down is a little bit of an issue. I want to tell this story about this man here because I walked into your place in early 1992. So on December 13th, it'll be 30 years.
Wow.
For me, starting radio. Wow. 30 years. Kenny Albert invited me down to the WITH studios at 5 Light Street, right above the McDonald's, at Light and Baltimore. Is where I began my career in this smoky old studio. The whole studio was as big as this table, ashtrays, you know, smoke stains. It was terrible, right? Coffee maker from the 50s. And I began my career there, and I didn't even know what a sponsor was. I didn't know how radio worked. I didn't know about radio. I know I listened to WLPL and WTK and 98 Rock, and, you know, but I had no idea how the business worked. And I had worked at the paper for 6 years, and I guess this is where I'll bring a story of an old friend of yours in, Bill Burton.
Sure.
So I worked in the sports department from 84 to 86 at the Sun, and I knew Ed Dentry. Did you know Ed, too?
Sure.
Okay, so Ed Dentry and I worked together at the news, and he went to the Denver Rocky Mountain News, which was an incredible – Ed's a wonderful man. I mean, Ed was just top-notch human being. Spent his life out in Colorado.
Great sportsman.
Oh, and a great sportsman. Yeah. I mean, what a life he had out there, right? So he left here for that life, and then in 86 I went to the Sun, and Bill Burton's there, right? He's got the pipe. And when I thought of Bill, I always remember Channel 2 and the little yellow perch.
And he used to do the fishing program.
He used to do the fish, and he put the fish up on a weather map, right? And it show you who's biting in the Chop Tank River.
Yeah, it was
whatever,
only
right?
twice a week, and that thing is so funny. I've argued with the Sun for years, because going back at the Sun, we had, of course, Joe Brooks, and then we had Lefty Cray, and we had a lot of the guys
Candace
down the line.
Candace after that, yep.
Candace Thompson after that. And these are all good people, and the Sun paper puts 32 pages at that time into fishing, into football and baseball. They had a little 8-inch column on fishing once a week. The point is, there's more fishermen than people go to the games that watch football. And why would you take all that effort? Because the head honchos of the paper weren't fishermen. So they didn't look at it as, you know, we're missing a whole thing. There's not a TV station that does any kind of fishing report. If they did it once a week, the draw would be unbelievable, because other than that, everybody goes, you know, went to the computer now and gets everything. But how many people are watching the news, and it's a nice little segment for 3 minutes to have a fishing report, and it's very well done. So that's something to think about.
For me with you, we had a fishing report at the Sun at the time in the 80s.
Yep.
Bill Burton.
Yep.
And you might not know the story, but I told the story on the Bill Burton Bridge on the Crab Cake Tour. So you can go watch the video.
Yep.
My wife filmed me out there. It had thousands of views because people knew Bill. Bill was a legend, right? So, and Bill's daughter saw the video the first night I put it up and sent me a note. It made me cry, actually. And I have my fishing reports. I still have them with my name on them. I have to, when I find it, I'll put it up. I have it. It's in a box. I just need to go through it. All my, I wrote 1,500 bylines in 6 years at the Sun. 250 bylines a year.
Yeah,
I was 18 years old. I have a lot of bylines.
You were hustling.
I was,
but you always
working.
Have been.
I was always working, right?
Yep.
A worker. So I got a chance. In 1986, I'm at the paper. I'm 17, 18 years old. And Jack Gibbons loved me. Jack thought I could write about anything. Jack had me cover a triathlon. Jack sent me to New Jersey to cover women's golf.
Oh, it didn't matter what it was again.
He thought I was a writer, and he wanted me to be that. And I love Jack Gibbons. Jack's one of my favorite people in the world. Means everything to me. So I'm working there for 6 years, or I'm working there the first year. Jack calls me in his office, and, you know, Jack called me in his office all the time. Hey, Ness, come on in. I got something for you now. All right. Hey, and here's the good news. He'd say, hey, Bill Burton's on vacation next week. I need
you
to write.
You're doing a fishing column.
You're doing a fishing report.
Yep.
I'm like,
I know nothing.
Jack, I don't know anything about fishing. I know nothing about it. Nah, Bill's going to take care of it. He's going to help you out. Yeah. So you knew Bill. So you'll appreciate this. So the good news was I got paid $25 to write it. Or 50, whatever.
And I'll do that, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's money for me. Bill's on vacation. Nestor gets paid.
It's extra bucks.
Right? Now, you know, I had a four-year-old kid at the time. I'm working the paper. So I did the fishing column, and I probably did that column 10, 15 times. You know, two times a year, three times a year, whenever Bill was away.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to call Captain Buddy Harrison. I remember the names. I, you know,
they had
Point Lookout. I'd have to learn all these places that I'd never been in my life.
And Buddy was a character.
And I think that's what Bill said.
Bill was a character.
So
was Bill, though.
But Bill would leave me the yellow notebook paper, you know, and he would have on there, Captain Buddy Harrison.
Call this.
301-658-1212, or, you know, whatever, right?
Yep.
And I have to, and he'd leave me, these are the 10 people you're going to call. You need to call down, you know, you're going to call out Potomac, you're going to call down, you're going to call the Chop Tank River, you're going to call this guy that runs a fishery down in Crisfield. You know, and that's what you're going to do. Ocean City, the inlet, and the pier. Okay, great. So I did it for all those years. Didn't think anything of it. And I'm not a fisherman. So 1992 comes, and I got a radio show. And the first thing I did was reach to my first sponsors. I'll give them all love right now because there were three of them. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out, but I think there were three. You, there was a man named Peter Martucci. He's a wonderful man, lives out in Howard County. He had a restaurant called O'Toole's Fireside Inn at Georgia Avenue and Ritchie Highway in Glen Burnie. Our signal was good in Glen Burnie, so I prospected down there a little bit. And I'm from East Baltimore, from Dundalk, so I was always trying to go to Squires, Norris Ford, you know, places that would sponsor me, that would know me. But I knew of you, and I went to you because, like, fishing was like sports. There's no football in town, even though you're wearing Ravens purple on Friday. So this is January, February 1992, and I walked into your store. I'll never forget. Your father was alive in there.
Yeah.
Very much so. And you came up, and you were a little younger then. I was a lot younger then. And I came in and I told you what I was doing. I said, hi, my name's Nestor. I do a thing called the Sports Forum, and it's radio. And you're like, I'll sponsor you. And I'm like, all right.
That was easy.
That was nice. And you got Columbia Sports to underwrite a sponsorship, and you gave me, and this is, it made me cry, I tell you, you gave me and my son jackets. You gave us, it was blue and aquamarine. It was newfangled 1992. It had two parts. It right. layered.
You
it
could use the inside or said and a reversible.
It had special stuff inside of it that kept you Eskimo warm. I mean, it was a $300 jacket. It was a really, really nice jacket. And you said to me, I'm going to give you and your son jackets since you don't fish, and I'm going to, you know, and you sponsored me, and I think you gave me $75 a week.
Don't remember that, but it was great.
I remember that a lot. I remember that a lot.
Mrs. Boyle, who owns Columbia at that time again, she was the owner again, she actually took our orders. So to give you an idea how long we've been with Columbia.
Well, you found a way to get me paid to have another company underwrite it, and all the commercials were Columbia Sports. And our first commercials, and Kim Knight, if you're out there, John Boswick, my friends, Drew Boswick, who I saw born, Kim's father, Joe Knight, was the voice of your commercials. And I remember Joe saying,
I have those still.
I have them too. Somewhere. I promise you, I ran them. Yeah. Every cassette tape from Nasty Nestor, 1992, 93, 94, 95, has your commercial.
Boy, you're bringing back some. Oh, wow.
So it was a really well produced commercial. I'm going to find it and play it because it still would. The commercial would
nothing's
still play.
Changed.
Nothing's changed about your place. So you would hear the crickets, and you'd hear the water, and you'd hear the fly hit the water, and you'd hear the crickets, and you're out on the lake, and you're fishing. And it was Joe Knight's voice. And you know what he said about you? Not cheap. Choice. That was the ag copy.
Yep.
Tochterman's.
Yep.
Not cheap. Choice. You know?
Yeah.
And that was part of your ad. And I remember that 30 years later. But here you are.
Because it was all quality, and quality is what was most important.
Tell everybody what fishing's like for now, because I went fishing for the first time in my adulthood. I went with Dan Rodericks. He says hello and gives you much love.
No problem there again. Dan's
a lot of love.
His boy's a guide now.
His boy's a guide.
Up in Gunpowder, yeah.
So I reached to Dan when I was doing the Crab Cake Tour, and I said, I'm going to go all over the state. I'm going to do things I've never done. And one thing I had always wanted to do, not always, but in the last 10 years, I wanted to fly fish. Now, Ed Dentry, Mike Marlowe, friends of mine were fishermen, real fishermen.
I mean,
Mike Marlowe moved to Great Falls to fish. Wasn't a hunter at all. One of my dearest friends, my assistant sports editor at the Sun many years ago. The fly fishing thing hit me when I was in Montana. I went to Montana with my wife 5 years ago, 4 years ago, to see Pearl Jam. And we drove all through Montana. And I had been to Montana in the early 90s, but it was winter. And I saw people on the side of the road in waders, and it looked joyful.
In the cold.
No, this was in the summer. I went a couple years ago. This is recently.
Okay.
It was August. There were fires on the hills. It was terrible like that. Big Sky. Big Sky, Montana. I couldn't leave my beer out. I'm at the Chop Tank, by the way. It's all presented by the Maryland Lion. Your beer would get ash in it.
Oh, man.
Because it was that much fire going on.
Wow.
I had ash in my hair. Woke up, blew my nose, black. Big Sky, Montana, and some of these fires are real. I mean,
there's no question about it, and it hurt the industry too. From the people we talked to out there,
you can't fish.
No,
you can't fish. You can't fish.
And then the pandemic.
I mean, I'm at a beautiful lodge that everybody's fishing and outdoor, and you know, drinking out, and outdoor was destroyed. I mean, you couldn't breathe.
Yeah,
it smelled like something you wanted to run from, like something you knew you shouldn't be breathing. But I saw all of these fly fishermen everywhere I went. I said to Jen. And I don't say this much. I'm not immersive in that way. You do it, great. I'll watch you do it. That seems like fun. I'm on to the next thing. You know, I mean, I'm short attention span in that way. But I said, because that's why I don't want to golf. Golfing to me, you hit the ball, you chase it. I did that when I played wiffle ball when I was 8. I don't want to do that. But the fishing thing, it's not even about the fish or catching the fish or eating the fish.
Right.
It felt to me like the act of being out there. And I'm not an outdoorsman, you know that.
But you're doing the exact thing that we talk about with fly fishing. In fact, you can relate to this, because being the sports person that you are, you can go to an airport anywhere in the world or a train station, and someone will have a tennis racket, and you'll say, that guy plays tennis, baseball bat, lacrosse stick. Doesn't make any difference. And you're just going to say, you pictured them for what they are. If you see somebody with a fly rod or a spinning rod or any kind of fishing rod, I guarantee you, if you have a fishing rod, he's going to come up to you and say, where you going or where you been? It's the only sport that everybody is equal. You can own a major company. You can be, you know, somewhere on the low end of the totem pole. Doesn't matter what the economic class you were in. Everybody,
you know,
in
I know
fishing
that?
Is so equal.
Now, let me tell you this. 30 days I spent on the road in August, and I would not have been able to. I had you on the show last year during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I know I did. I had you and Dion. We're talking about bloodworms and whatnot. I would not have been able to tell you this because it was immersive for me. My wife and I drove the entire state for 30 days everywhere, and we wound up, and this is speaks to me at 53. I wanted to see stuff I'd never seen. I wanted to go down roads I'd never gone down. I wanted to see what's over there. And all of what's over there was my wife did 94% of the driving, and I did 94% of the navigating. And I'm on Google Maps, and I'm like, there's a little park over here, honey. Let's go see it. It's raining. What the hell? We go over. We saw so many people fish. I'll tell you the place that I want to go fish one day that I didn't, but and it's not fly fishing. We went to Solomon's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Tony, and my wife would it annoys her sometimes because I'd just be like, let's go over there. I don't know what's over there. Maybe I'll make a new friend. Maybe we'll see a butterfly. Let's just go over there. That's my thing. We went to Solomon's under that big bridge.
Mm-hmm.
There was piers. And I'd never been to Solomon's. So when I say over at Solomon's, you're like, yeah, I know Solomon's. I'd never been in my life. So we went out on a pier, and this is the neat part, because I exactly what you're talking about. Out on the pier, there's probably 40 people fishing. And it was a beautiful day. And my wife just wanted to go out and get the breeze.
Sure.
Because it was breeze.
Sure.
We didn't have a rod. We weren't looking for much. We just wanted to take a little walk. We parked the car. Actually, saw some beautiful butterflies, as I mentioned butterflies. So we walk out, and the pier's got a name, and I took a picture of the park. And we walked out. And on that pier, there were black people, white people, Asian people, women. Asian women with the little hats. It reminded me of being in Tokyo.
Yep.
And everybody had different styles. Some people were trying to get a crab. Everybody had different gear. There were grandfathers and their kids. There were families. There were Hispanic families. Hispanic families that had their whole family on the pier. And the kids were doing one thing, and they had rods on this side, and they had rods on that side, and they had beer in the cooler, which I love. By the way, the fact that you can fish and drink, what have I been, McTochterman, what did you not tell me about this? And it felt like you could get a tan, and it felt like you could have some music. Some people brought their music with them, brought a little boombox. Some people had their headset on.
Yeah, and everybody gets along with everybody else.
And everybody was fishing. Everybody had their little spot out on a pier. And some people were suntanning.
It's so equal. There's no other sport anywhere in the world that is as much of an equalizer as fishing. And you go fishing because you're out there for what you said. You want to see the butterfly. You want to see the water. You want to see the trees. If you catch a fish, that's the bonus.
I didn't catch one.
But it doesn't matter. You went there for the experience of fishing.
Dan was so disappointed, man. So Dan hits us. I haven't had Dan on yet. So I have to get Dan back on. My wife was interested, and I was interested. And Dan said, my son's a guy. He'll take you out.
Mm-hmm.
Then his son blew his Achilles, like third week of June. He hits me, says, Nick blew his Achilles. I said, well, then you're the guide. So he asked what size my shoe was, what size my pants were.
Sure.
By the way, and this is the point in the show where I don't just say, Tony Tochterman is here from Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle. Not Cheap Choice, as Joe Knight would say. We're at the Chop Tank. We're down here in Fells Point. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Let yourself play. I got my mask out. We're going to be with Mayor Brandon Scott over at Coco's in Lauraville on the 17th. We're going to be at Fadley's in Lexington Market on Wednesday. We got a lot of great guests, and we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill next Friday. But Tony's my dude right now. We're hanging out. Ron Furman's in the house looking as beautiful as ever. You distracted me.
Can you imagine? Never happened before.
So Dan Rodericks and I put together this. You can have that up.
That's okay.
That's beautiful. So Dan decides that we were going to fish at one place. Let me give you the places we were going to fish, because you know about this. I want to get the names right, because the real fishermen will be down on me. We were going out to Western Maryland, and I wanted to fly fish. My dear friend Eric Sauer, who is a fly fisherman, told me we need to go on a Savage River and a Savage River Lodge. So there was a thought that we were going to glamp and stay in a yurt, but we didn't. And Dan's got a place out there where I wound up to stay in it. I stayed at Wisp. I had a relationship, and Wisp put us up, and so we stayed out there. And we had a crab cake at the Silver Tree at Silver Lodge. Oak Tree at Silver Lodge. Either way, Dutch's Silver Tree Lodge. There you go. So the next day, Roger said, we're going to meet nice and early. We're going to meet at the McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
We met at the McDonald's in Western Port, Maryland, right next to Luke, Maryland. Luke Jones is mine. So there's a plant there that apparently was a mill. It was like a
long time ago.
And yeah. The fish have changed coming down the North Potomac because the mill has gone and the water's a lot cleaner, a lot better for fishies, a lot better for rainbow trout. So Rogers takes us down the way. Tony, I parked where I'm parked right here on Broadway, and behind the train, we walked over to train tracks, and it's the most beautiful stream.
It's quiet.
And fall.
Yeah.
There's no one anywhere.
No, it's quiet.
Eric brought his son, and he's a real fisherman, so he had everything. And this is the plug for me. This is when my wife comes into conversation. Tell Tony I need waders, she said. You got waders?
We got women's waders, too.
I had
too.
A feeling you had waders, yeah. So my wife wants waders. So we went out in the water, and it was slippery. You know, I had everything on, and Dan took me out, and I'm going to do this right. I hope I don't rip everything up. Dan took me out, and did I tell you I was friends with Lefty Cray?
No, but again, I can tell you all kinds of stories about Lefty. My dad sold him his first fly rod back in 1947. So
tell our audience who Lefty Cray is.
Lefty Cray is
the Michael Jordan of fly fishing.
Oh, easily. He's
the Babe Ruth of fly fishing.
Yes, all the above. And with Lefty, he's actually taught three different presidents how to fly fish. John Wayne, and if you go back further,
he taught John Wayne how to fly fish.
He gave him lessons on it because John was a fly fisherman earlier days, and then Lefty made him a better fly caster.
So I'm going to give you my best. Lefty's been gone a while, and I was with Dan.
Almost 3 years.
And Dan can channel Lefty a little bit. So Lefty and I worked together at the Sun in 86 to 92, and Lefty would always come into the office to get his mail early in the morning. And I worked 11 to 7. So I would be in there. Sometimes on a Friday, we'd be waiting for our paychecks at 8:15 for the lady to come and pay us, you know, give us a paycheck on the fifth floor. And Lefty would come in the morning, and Lefty liked me, you know. Oh, Lefty, here you tell you, I'm going to take you out, Nasty. We're going to do some fishing, you know. You want to go down to Caribbean. You get some good fishing down there in the Turks and Caicos. So he would tell me, they got the mafia down there. I remember him telling me all this stuff back in the 80s. And he offered to take me fly fishing. I never went. I mean, this is like Michael Jordan offering to play basketball with you, shoot some hoops, and you say no.
He's been on
I feel like such
stamp.
A jerk.
Well,
for
no,
never
again,
doing
but
it.
But for casting, he was one. In fact, he used to go travel over 2 weeks a month around the country, giving out lessons. Thing, and his last, I can't think of all the names. And one of his last trips out there in his early 90s is the fact that in 1 week he was giving lessons to Tom Brokaw, Michael. I can't think. Michael Keaton, Bon Jovi. This is just 1 week. It's two other people that you would know right away. That's just a 1 week period. And this would happen every 2 weeks. He would have people like that.
Lined up
because he was the best, bar none. My dad sold him his first fly rod in 1947. Lefty Deceiver, number one selling saltwater fly in the world. Lefty Deceiver. A week before he died, he called D&I. And he says, can you two come over to the house for a little while? And, yeah, the doctor said no more than 30 minutes at the home. And we left 3.5 hours later because he didn't want us to leave. Dee fixed him lunch. And but we could have a conversation. But he was so straightforward. The funniest thing, he was giving a slide presentation. He's talking about his humor and how quick he was. He was doing a slide presentation in Pennsylvania. And back then when the slide projectors would jam occasionally, it would get jammed. And a whole group of these blue-collar guys were there, and he said, don't worry about it. I'll tell a couple Polish jokes while I'm fixing a projector. And this one gorilla stood up, and he says, Mr. Cray, I want you to know I'm Polish. Well, Lefty, the whole guy's saying, oh, Jesus. Lefty turns around, and he says, okay, I'll say it real slow so you understand it. You know, it just gives you the idea the humor this man had.
Well, Lefty was old school, so I'm out in the woods with Rodericks, and he's got the rod out there, and he says... He did it in Lefty's voice. He's grabbing my arm. Dan's grabbing me. He's like, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. 10 o'clock,
it's all the
2 o'clock.
Wrist, yeah.
10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And I had to go out there and practice it. 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And you know what he said? And you'll laugh at this. He said, Lefty would say, "You look like a monkey chopping cabbage."
He had so many lines with him, but it was just amazing. And talk about the Baltimore connection. Lefty, of course, was voted the number one of all time of instrumental fly fishermen in the world by Fly Fishing Magazine. Number two was Joe Brooks. Joe Brooks, the Brooks family here in town. Joe Brooks brought Lefty in to get his first fly rod back in 47, but Joe Brooks is one of our regular customers. Joe Brooks was on the Baltimore Orioles, you know, later on, and it was just amazing that he didn't want to be in the office here in investment banking with the family. And he ended up being a great fly fisherman. He was the one who really got American sportsmen started with Gowdy.
Because back in the early 70s.
Back in the early days, because okay, nobody would travel. Nobody would ever fly fish in South America, Central America, Bolivia. They wouldn't do any of that until they went down there, and Joe Brooks introduced that to the world.
International fishing.
International. And that's where Lefty was great for the international crowd, and Bill Burton was great for the local crowd. Lefty talked to the Zamontis and the Meyerhoffs and these people. And then Bill would talk to us normal people, you know what I'm saying? And it was really a great marriage between the two of them. So much, so different.
I was honored to work with both of them.
Oh, you had to be. They're really great. But it's nice that here in town, number one, number two, were both customers of ours, are the most influential of all time.
Tony Tochterman here, Tochterman Fishing and Tackle. You can find him right on Eastern Avenue. Not cheap choice. I just hear Joe Knight's voice in my ears. Well, my first sponsor, literally, 1992. It's my 30th anniversary coming up next month. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're down here at the Chop Tank. I'm already one beer in. I've got water in here, but, you know, I'm mixing it all up. Ron Furman's going to be here. Mayor Torkin's going to be here. Ed Lauer's going to drop by. I got some friends stopping by. Last thing I want to say to you on the fly fishing thing, I went out in the water, and Dam's laughing at me because I found a big-ass rock. I mean, I just found a big-ass rock that I put myself next to, and I just parked myself on it, and I just sat there, and because I didn't want to fall.
Sure.
And I learned 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and I learned, and I didn't catch anything. And Dan caught one fish. Dan caught this little rainbow trout. I'll find it. We caught one. You know, you couldn't eat them, keep them anyway because they're on the. But I'll find the picture.
Well, you haven't been in for a while either. And to give you an idea, the whole second floor now is all fly fishing. The whole second floor. So it's three buildings.
Well, so give me the lowdown on like the industry a little bit, because I was going to ask you. I'm going to take it in a different direction. I was at the White Marlin with Ocean City. It was
20 different worlds. Yep.
Yeah, and like that's a, and I've had my dear friend at the Chaucer, Brian Eater, you know, finished second in a competition last year, and we sat
big
at his
bucks.
Place back in September telling the story. Like it helped him buy the bar, you know.
Yeah, big
so
bucks.
Literally, but completely different, and it's still fishing though.
It's still fishing, and again, same thing. We have over 220 different fly reels in stock now, over 19 different styles of waders for men and women. So. But next time you come over,
there's Rodericks and I catching the trout right there. You can see there you go. There's rainbow trout.
There you go.
See that? See that little guy right there? Tell everybody how to find you and the bloodworms. Give me. I mean, if you fish, you need this guy. My wife and I now fish a little bit, and I said, you know, she needs waders because we're going to do this. Fly fishing's something I'm going to do. I'm going to come in with you, and I'm going to outfit myself. So, and you're going to do it the right way.
Well,
I want a Lefty's deceiver. So
not
I can deceive
problem.
Them, you know.
Yeah, we got three people in the fly shop now. So anytime
I invited
you,
to go fishing with us. You don't fish anymore, I know.
No, I fish all over the world. I've been lucky enough to fish with Lefty all different over the world. And now it's like my customers are my kids. You'd rather see your kids catch fish than you. My customers are my kids. That's what I want to see. I want to make them happy.
The oldest standing family
fishing store run by the same family in the same location in the world.
In the world. And you're here with me. I'm honored. Love you, Tony.
Been friends a long
appreciate
time.
Appreciate you, man. Tony Tochterman, one of my favorite people. Ron Furman's going to be here after the break. I've ordered some fried chicken and coleslaw and French fries. I'm going to get the one-star crab cake at some point before it's all over with here because it is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm playing one of my favorite places, Fells Point. I said I had my first
Fells
underage
Point.
Beer, 16, right there at Dionysos.
Nothing like Fells
and
Point.
I know Furman's around here somewhere. I'm going to find him. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.